This morning, our text is Romans chapter 15, verse 13. As we consider here, as Jesus is the hope of not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles, as we consider the context. But let me read verse 13 to you as we begin our time. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." This is a powerful verse, one I encourage you to commit to memory because it speaks to who we are in Christ Jesus, that we are different from what we once were. As we take a look and consider, there was a time where you and I had no hope. No hope whatsoever. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." The thing is when we live in that realm, and that was part of who we are, it's almost as if we don't even appreciate or acknowledge or see in any capacity that we are without hope. Because that's our existence. That's the realm in which we live, and we were fulfilling the desires of our heart, which was all about me, myself, and I, where we live for ourselves. And we, you know, thought about the fact that there was a day coming where death would come knocking at our door. And that's really why, you know, as we think about living in this world apart from Christ, is a world that is without hope. Because death itself is hopeless. And even when we live life and we think about, you know, day in, day out, even if you're, you know, putting off the fact that one day you're going to die, it actually loses meaning in relation to our lives if we have no hope for everyday life. You know, it's something to be wishful about, but yet not confident in. And something changes when we find ourselves, you know, recipients of God's grace and his mercy in Christ Jesus, things that we just sung about this morning, something that is powerful, something that is life transforming, so that when we find ourselves engaging everyday life, as well as looking down and realizing there is still a day coming where, you know, death is going to come, you know, where these physical bodies are going to no longer be, that we have a full assurance, a blessed hope in Christ Jesus. And as we've talked about before and you know, repeated, you know, during Christmas time, and as we, you know, considered, you know, Ephesians chapter 2, you know, when you look at your life, do you live in the reality of that hope you have in Christ? Or are you just wishful that things will be better than they are? When you look at the world stage, you know, and you think about everything that's happening as we're approaching an election time come November, are you just hopeful that our country will still be, that, you know, someone's not going to make a foolish mistake and all of a sudden, you know, our country ceases to be because someone finally decides that, you know, they are selfish enough to push that button? You know, we can live in light of who we are in Christ, or we can live as one who does not realize who we are in Christ. And my hope and my goal for you today, which is hopeful, confident, of full assurance, when you look at who you are in Christ, that you will live differently. Because when we think about the hope that is that biblical hope, which as you see on the screen, it says biblical hope is a full assurance in what God is going to do, something we have not yet fully realized and won't until our faith is made sight. But there's also a side of that hope that's practical in everyday life. Yes, we look forward to that hope, but there is hope to be had even right now as you look at the scriptures. You can be free from anxiety and fear. But maybe this past week you were bound by anxiety. Maybe just the change of venue from, you know, Lugan Buell Pond to the church building here was enough to just push you over the edge and make you just super anxious. I hope not. But it was certainly, as I was looking at the weather, it was an opportunity for me to say, well, do we do it or do we not do it? You know, and the whole point was we didn't want anyone to get, you know, electrocuted And considering I think I might be the tallest person here, I'm thankful for that. But you can be free from anxiety and fear. You don't have to be fearful of what if or what may, because you have faith and trust in the God who is, who has already lived all of your tomorrows. You can, find in this biblical hope that you will never be disappointed. Will you not get what you expect or hope you may? Well, if your will and your desires are not God's will and God's desires, then yeah, there can be a disconnect. But if we live in light of who we are in Christ, you should never be disappointed, no matter what the set of circumstances are, because you remember who Christ is, that he is everything to you, that he gave his everything so that you could have everything. And that's something that's powerful. You can live in light of the fact that God will help you no matter what. Even when you are disobedient, he will help you in disciplining you and bringing you back. For you to see the error of your way and for you to choose to do better and do the right thing as opposed to giving in to that temptation and falling into sin. That hope gives you great boldness in your faith. So that it doesn't matter what the world may say about Jesus. It doesn't matter how much they will ridicule Christians in our culture. We have great boldness because we know what Jesus can do. Because he is our everything. And when someone else puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus is no less their everything than he is to you. And considering the fact that this world in which we live, this temporal realm, is only a little minuscule drop in the bucket of, eternity. Living for what is yet to come, but living in light of that right now is something that we should see of great importance and great benefit to us. And it can inspire you to continue to endure, even when things get tough, even when things are difficult, even when things are outside of your control and you don't know which way to turn. You have hope in God that is sure. That God said that you are his son and or his daughter, and therefore he can give you through the power of the Spirit in you the ability to endure through anything. If you don't believe that, look at the Bible. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at his testimony. And it's not just, it wasn't bragging rights for him. What he was communicating was the fact that God was his hope no matter what. Whether he had much or little, whether he was shipwrecked, whether he was being beaten, or whether he was proclaiming to a pagan world that the God that you don't know, I'm going to tell you who he is. And see, that's the same that we can have as believers today. It inspires endurance, but it also inspires purity. Because that hope helps us to see who we are in Christ and realizes that sin does not benefit us in any way, shape, or form as someone who's been saved out of that kingdom and been freed from sin. And so that hope in Christ can give you the ability to be an overcomer, even in relation to temptation, so that it inspires actual purity in your life. And the more you are pure, the more you are right with God, the more you're going to see and the more you're going to experience and enjoy as a believer in Jesus Christ. And the thing is, the love that we have from God and that love that we experience on a horizontal level as well as the love that we experience between us and God inspires or is inspired by hope itself. And we love because God first loved us, but because we see God as he is, there's something that transcends, the human nature. It transcends time for us to be able to see that we are not people without hope. Even though the world may be falling apart, we can trust in God because our hope is in him. Which made me think about Aaron Schust's song, My Hope Is In You. The lyrics go like this. I meet with you and my soul sings out as your word throws doubt far away. I sing to you and my heart cries, Holy, hallelujah, Father, you're near. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing my hope is in you, Lord. I wait for you, and my soul finds rest. In my selfishness, you show me grace. I worship you, and my heart cries, glory, hallelujah, Father, you're here. I will wait on you. You are my refuge. See, the lyrics of that song communicate aptly what I just got done communicating to you. And the thing is, you can live in that freedom of the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, which is a hope in God the Father, which is a hope in the Holy Spirit. It is a hope for right now and a hope for what is yet to come. And that is something that we can all enjoy. As it says there, may the God of hope, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That word abound means to be plentiful, to thrive, to flourish. So as believers in Jesus Christ, there's no reason to be stagnant. There's no reason to be the bump on the log. Because you can abound in hope by the Holy Spirit that indwells you each and every day. And so seize that, grab hold of that. Know, with without a shadow of a doubt, you have a full assurance in what God is going to do and what God is doing right now. Which brings me to the second point here, which is the middle of the verse, because it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So my question for you this morning is, are you filled with all joy and peace in believing?
Yes.
Let me try again. Are you filled with all joy and peace in believing? You should be. This is not something small. This is not something insignificant. The Creator God loved you through his Son, Jesus Christ, who took on flesh, lived a perfect sinless life, died on Calvary, was buried, and was resurrected from the dead, and ascended to the right hand of the throne of the Father, where he is right now awaiting his soon return. And that should transform how we think and how we engage even just the simple things in life. You know, one of the things as I was studying for this and realizing that, you know, it's easy to have hope in big things, but it's a little bit more difficult to have hope in small things. Because small things, we have a tendency to think, I've got this. It's when the big things come that all of a sudden we cry out to God, God, hey, I need your help. I can't navigate this. But see, the thing is, God doesn't change in the circumstances of life. What we assign as small or great isn't something that God assigns as small or great, because he cares about every aspect of our lives, day in and day out. And sometimes I'm sure I'm just, make God weary. Maybe because of my lack of faith or my lack of hope or because I allow anxiety or fear or because I just am the half, the cup's half empty person instead of the cup's half full. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 19, which you're right there in 15, you can turn back one page. Because it tells us what the kingdom of God is. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbringing. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. But yet, we think about eating and drinking every day. The question is, that is in relation to when our stomachs tell us that, it's lunchtime, and as you're sitting here, there might be, aroma of, sloppy joes coming through the door right now. And it's amazing what happens when food is involved or when you're working hard and all of a sudden you're ready to take that first drink of that delicious glass of whatever beverage it is that will quench your thirst. It's making your mouth water right now, isn't it? See, it's amazing what the power of those, connections make. But the question is that do we have that same connection spiritually? When we talk about a worship night on Friday night, does that excite us? Does that bring joy to us? Because we realize we have the opportunity on a day that's not Sunday to gather together with those of like precious faith to give God the glory. Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, if there's no hope in the resurrection, if there's nothing after this, then why not eat, drink, and be merry? For tomorrow you may die. It's a good question, right? But see, we have to look beyond the temporal to the eternal, not just in relation to our salvation and think that we're right with God because we put our faith and trust in Christ and repented of our sins, and he's given us the gift of faith in eternal life. Because there's something practical for the here and now. And the question is, are we consumed with eating and drinking, or are we consumed with righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? Or are we only living a life that is lived under the sun, as Solomon said? Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." That word can be translated full, fulfilled. So the thing is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, when we pursue what is consistent with our character and nature now because of Christ in us, it actually satisfies. It's not something that's temporal. It is something that is here right now and has ongoing effects into the future until God brings us home. A.W. Tozer said, "You can be straight as a gun barrel theologically and just as empty as one spiritually." I think that's a pretty profound statement. The thing is, we can know all the scriptures. We can know what the Bible says, but we are empty spiritually because it has no practical effect. We're not living in light of it. We don't have hope. We don't have joy. We don't have peace because we're looking at everything outside of who we are in Christ, all of the circumstances of life, whether good or bad, and that's what defines us, and that's not what should define us anymore. We live in the world, and yes, you need to eat and drink, so I'm not advocating that you stop eating and drinking, because we're going to be doing that here in, you know, another half an hour. But the thing is, are you living in light of Christ's righteousness so that you can have that hope, that joy, that peace? Because if it's not something that goes from it being a theological fact in your brain down into your heart and the core of your being so that it actually affects how you operate and live within the world, then you're just as empty spiritually as a gun barrel is without any ammunition in it. As we think about being filled with all joy and peace in believing, let me give you two things here that I think are important, because one's focus and dependence upon God determines a couple of things, two of which I've pulled from the scriptures this morning. And that is that your focus and dependence upon God determines the amount of perfect peace you experience. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." So if your focus is not on the everlasting rock, if you're not trusting in God for the little things as well as the big things, then you are not going to be at perfect peace. Because all of the other things that life can present are going to be filling your mind and your heart and your soul and pushing out what God could be using to push all that out. One's focus and dependence upon God also determines the amount of joy in your heart. Psalm 4, verses 7 and 8 says, "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." So this thing that the psalmist is talking about is at the peak of harvest, when everything is coming in as a result of God's blessing on the work that the children of Israel did in sowing and in producing, and all of a sudden harvest comes, and you know, as people that are planted in the garden realize, is that there's a lot of stuff coming out of that garden, even to the point of sometimes not being able to consume it all because there's so much coming. Well, this is what he's talking about. He says, you, talking about God, have put more joy in my heart than when the harvest is at its peak, when all the blessings are flowing, when I have more than I could possibly imagine in relation to sustenance and to living and to enjoying life. So can you say that with the psalmist this morning? That God brings more joy in your heart than when everything is going right? And when you have everything that you need or even want? So your focus and dependence upon God determines whether or not you're perfect peace and how much joy you have in your heart. And when we love God rightly, the scriptures tell us in 1 Peter chapter 1, we will experience a joy that is beyond words. Listen to what it says in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Though you haven't seen him, you love him. You believe in him. You trust him, as the scripture said earlier. And it produces a joy that is inexpressible. Have you experienced the inexpressible joy of being a son or daughter of God this morning? See, this joy transcends the human experience and breaks forth into the highest praise because the Creator has shown us who he is and what our purpose is and freed us to worship him in spirit and truth. You're no longer dead in your trespasses and sins. Sin is no longer your master. And there's something beautiful about that. And it should produce in you a joy that is inexpressible. That means you can't put words to it. You can't even, if given the entire vocabulary of the world, could not put into words the joy that you have as a result of faith and trust in Jesus Christ and being made right with God the Father and the Holy Spirit indwelling you. It should produce something that is indescribable, inexpressible. And it's something that should overwhelm you. And the question is that if you're feeling as though right now that's not who you are, then where is your focus? What is your faith in? What are you trusting in? Because that will determine whether or not you're experiencing this joy inexpressible. As you know, Michelle and I and our family lived in Alaska for 17 years. And one of the most impressive things that, you know, outside of all of Alaska being impressive, you know, from the glacial fields to the mountains going from sea level to, you know, 3,500 feet right there before your eyes. One of the things was a massive amount of tidal, you know, water that would go in and out in a 12-hour time frame. And at the peak of the tides, you know, when the full moon is there, you know, we experienced tides that were 25 plus feet change in tide in 12 hours from high to low. So you can imagine that. So 25 feet, you know, we're probably pretty much approaching that at the height of the ceiling. So you can imagine that much volume of water coming in and going out over your head. And the thing is what it does, it ends up developing, you know, because it's moving so rapidly, you can actually watch the tide come in and go out. In a minute, you can watch the water just keep working its way forward or working its way out. It is so drastic because it's, like I said, 25 feet in 12 hours. And what happens is that a lot of sea life ends up getting caught in little tidal pools because the water is, you know, leaving so quickly. And, you know, of course, they're in it all the time. But the thing is that they can feel isolated because there's just this little tidal pool with just a little bit of liquid in it. And here they're stuck. But within 12 hours, something miraculous happens because God is continuing to show his sustaining power of all that he has made. Those little tidal pools all of a sudden are overwhelmed by an extreme amount of water to make all those little tidal pools part of something much larger. So that they have a great deep sea as their tidal pool. And if you can kind of take that transition from what we consider, you know, in relation to our focus and our trust in God, sometimes it feels like we're in little spiritual tidal pools. You may be in one right now. But see, there's hope because I know who God is. And the thing is that there's a tide coming that the more you put your focus and your trust in Him, all of a sudden you become overwhelmed by God's goodness, by God's grace, by His joy, by His hope, by His peace, because you become part of something miraculously larger, because you're part of a family of God, something that's very precious to God because His Son paid for it with His blood. So how should this inform our lives today? If you haven't pulled an application out yet, I'll give you a couple to take it from being information up here to take it down here to your heart, to your soul, to your whole being. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through a book called Pray Big by Alistair Begg, and it's been very good. If you haven't been coming, you're missing out. I encourage you can buy the book on your own and read it. But he's going through a couple of the prayers that Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians, which, you know, we went through not too long ago. But I'd like to read the one out of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 19, because this was Paul's prayer for the church, and it's my prayer for you, as well as a prayer for myself, that we would be those that would realize who we are in Christ. It says in verse 14 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." So not just in the mind, but in your inner being. "So that," there's a result, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you," personalize that "me," "that I may be filled with all the fullness of God." Are you filled with all the fullness of God this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's a good thing. That's where we should be 24/7. So living in light of that fullness means that we are imitators of God, where He is increasing and we are decreasing, because it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And as a result, we are growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will bring to completion that great work which He began. That's a whole bunch of scriptures coming together for you to realize who you are and what it means to be fulfilled, to be full. So as you consider this day, as you got up, I don't know how it began, how it started, where you are right now, or what you're thinking about and what you're going to face, but you can have a prayer before God of something that is life-changing, life-altering. And so may your prayer be this morning, "Lord, fill me so that I may know you better." And that's a good prayer to pray, because something's going to fill you. And the question is that God and His fullness, or is that the world and its fullness, or is that me and my fullness? Something is going to fill you. And so pray to the Lord, "Fill me so that I may know you better, because then I will know the hope that is in you. I will know the joy that comes from being a child of God. My mind will be at perfect peace, and therefore my world will be at perfect peace no matter what may be happening in my life or around me. Second, Lord, increase my capacity so that I may know you more deeply." Now, I've been a believer for a lot of years, and as I grow older, I realize that there's aspects of my faith that God is deepening. Things that I did know years ago, but God is making more profound and more real to me in my, you know, my 50s, that He didn't make known to me in any what I would consider a profound way, and probably because I wasn't ready. I was immature. So ask God to increase your capacity so that you can know him more deeply. And even go into a third thing, because this may not seem logical because you just said increase my capacity. Ask the Lord to overflow your capacity. Overflow your capacity so that others may see you in all your glory, so that they can see God. Because the world needs Jesus. Our country needs Jesus. Our families need Jesus. Because only he can transform. Only he can take that hopelessness and replace it with an assured hope in what is happening right now as well as what is yet to come. And know this, J.C. Ryle said that a Christian is a walking sermon. We preach far more than a minister does. Did you know that? You preach far more than I do. For we preach all week long. You're communicating something. And so my question is, when life comes along and shakes you, if you are full of God's hope, joy, and peace in believing, then that is what other people will see. Let me say that again. When life comes along and shakes you, if you are full of God's hope, joy, and peace in believing, then that is what other people will see. But the opposite is also true. And maybe this is where you are this morning. When life comes along and shakes you, if you're full of doubt, bitterness, and conflicted thoughts, then guess what? That is what people are going to see. So what are you projecting to those around you? What are you projecting to your family, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, to your coworkers? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there hope? That people go, what on earth is wrong with you? I'm glad you asked, because there's actually nothing wrong with me at all. Because I've experienced forgiveness of sins. And I've been made right with the Creator God of all. And that even though the world may reject him and deny that God even exists, I know that God exists. Because his Spirit fills my heart with joy and hope and peace in believing. And so may that be for each and every one of us here this morning, because that is where we find the victory in Jesus. Not only in salvation, but living the Christian life is having God fill us. Because remember, something's going to fill you. So what is filling you this morning? My prayer is that it's God. Amen. Amen.